Man, it's good to see you here together today. I've been preaching the wood for so long, I didn't know what you looked like, all right? Now I can really get excited. It's an honor to be here, to be preaching this Word of God with you today. I pray that it'll be a meaningful time to you. You know, there was a preacher one time preaching a message, and it was a good message. And so, but it was an important message for the church, and he came back the next Sunday, and he preached the same message over again. And he thought it was a good message. Church needed to hear it. Third week, came back preaching the same message. Little boy stood up and says, "We've heard that twice." He said, "I'm not going to quit preaching it till you get it." All right? So I want you to get this one today, all right? This is probably the greatest theme in the Bible, the love of God. I want to preach that to you today the best I can. The book that we want you to be reading out of, the book of Hosea in your Bible, you find that as one of the first, it's the first minor prophet right after those big prophets in the Old Testament. Find the book of Hosea. Follow along with us. We'll go through that book this morning. But I'm glad you're here. I want to welcome you. And let me share with you. We pray for the sick people that we need to pray for. We celebrate healing because God is the healer. But if you prayed for a lost person by name, have you prayed for a lost person if they've died, they wouldn't go to heaven? And you know them. Have you prayed for them by name? If not, why not? It's important for you and I to be praying. I know we've been out of church for a while, but man, we can pray everywhere. We can pray down the highway 60 miles an hour. We can talk to God. So be praying for people who are apart from Christ, praying for people who have never experienced the love of Christ. I pray that will be a part of our journey as we come through this message today. The book of Hosea, understanding more about God's love, the story of one-sided love. There isn't anything more painful than one-sided love in a relationship. One loving and one not loving. It hurts. This story reminds us how one-sided love hurts a lot. It also reminds us one-sided love hurts God a lot. God is a jealous God. We're going to read that in a few moments, that commandment. Commandments today are just suggestions at the best. They're not commandments. But they're still commandments for the believer. Amen. They're the schoolmaster. They teach us right from wrong. We adhere to them. Thank God for grace. But if it wasn't for the commandments, we wouldn't know right from wrong that God wants us to know. So they're important. I want to preach that with you today. One-sided love. There's nothing more rewarding than learning about the love of Christ. It's the greatest story, the greatest effect of God's word in our lives. You've heard me say many times this, and I'll continue to say this. The number one reason people go to church, the reason why they don't go to church, because they've been. They didn't leave because of the choir. They didn't leave because of the preacher. They didn't leave because of the music. They left because they didn't get loved. Because see, we love people usually by performance. It's a trap. We love people who love us. People who think like us. You know, people who think like us, aren't they easy to love? Say, yeah. But you know what? Sometimes I think wrong and so do you. So sometimes it just gets all messed up. So I want you to understand this. We cannot mirror one another. I'm going to talk about that in a few moments. Performance love is a trap. If you're married and you get through the first 5 years, you're doing something. Praise God. But about 20 years down the road, there's a big divorce rate happens. You know why? Because performance love is a trap. If you're loved because of your performance and how you take care of each other, there comes a day when you can't do anymore. There's a day you can't give anymore. There's a day you don't know anymore. And so your love is a trap because it always has to take more performance. The greatest part about God's love, it doesn't run out and there's no demands. Amen? And so I want you to understand that. The one-sided love, how easy it is to fall in that trap. At times I can't comprehend how his love and how well it works. He loves me. He knows all about me. He knows things that nobody else knows, and I couldn't even tell nobody. And he still loves me. I just can't believe that. It's just hard how good it is. But I know it's so. I know he loves me. See, when we approach the subject of love out of performance, raising our children out of performance, love, employers, employees, marriages, out of performance love. That love distorts God's love. Because that love has been taught to us, we've responded to it, and then we come in and learn about God's love. Man, it just changed everything because God doesn't take a performance. It's amazing grace. It's phenomenal. And so there's such a thing. We want to love. There's three levels of love. There's a feeling love. Man, when you see a new car, don't you just want it? That's a feeling. The emotions of it, to care for one another, that's phileo love. That's that emotional love, Philadelphia, brotherly love. So we can love by emotions. It's not much stronger than feelings. But then there's God's love, agape love, just the love of Christ, no performance needed. And so when I talk about that love today, I want to help us understand it and how it works. Because I feel like the love of God has been distorted out of performance. Because we come to church, if it doesn't perform right, we go to a relationship, it doesn't perform right, then all of a sudden we feel like they don't love us. They feel like they don't want us. But it's not a love out of God's love. It makes all the difference in the world. Nobody's ever loved us like Christ himself. The illustration of that love today, and I want you to get it, is found in the book of Hosea. It's a real unusual book. It really does. It mainly talks about, let me tell you what it talks about, one-sided love. See, Hosea is going to marry some gal that cheats on him. And God says, how'd that feel, Hosea? How you handling that? And then he says, see, Hosea married Gomer, and Gomer chased men. And then we meet God, and we chase other gods. All other gods. You know your biggest god? Money. It's your biggest god. That's your biggest performance factor. Money, man, when you got money, you can perform. You don't have money, you can't do it. You'll see how quick your love was distorted by performance. And so Hosea is going to teach us this. When we fail to love back God back, it hurts God a lot. You ever thought about hurting God? You ever thought about breaking God's heart? You ever thought how much he loves us? He gave us so much. And he does ask for us to love him back. Because, see, love is not one-sided. Love takes two sides. And so God did everything for us, and he would like for us to love him back. So we're going to learn about that today. And I pray it will help you to be stronger in your love relationship with the Lord, in your Christian walk, in your fellowship. Let me tell you something. If you do not have a devotion, if you do not have a prayer time, if all you do is show up on Sunday morning and worship, thank you for coming. It's very important to come. But if you just count on this worship service to produce the love of God in your heart where it's natural, let me tell you how that works. If you're learning a foreign language, see, when you learn a foreign language, you begin to listen to it, you understand it quickly. The hard part is talking the foreign language. Because you're trying to talk that language and you're translating your English with that language, so you're trying to get it worked. So your brain's doing double time, right? Trying to get it out. Let me tell you something. When the love of Christ comes out of us, it must be natural. You can't work it up. You can't think it up. It's just got to be a natural flow. So when you're fluent in your language, you don't have to translate. It just happens. When you're fluent in God's love, you don't have to think about it. It's just natural. Think about how many people you know in your lifetime that has that natural love of Christ. No matter what happens, what storm, they just have that tremendous love and they just work through the storm so much better than we do. It's amazing. It's amazing to me to meet those loving people. Very few have I met like that. They always impress me. I remember Granny. Granny would cook that stove and fire it up and cook all that breakfast. You know why? Just because she loved us. I'd get mad and do wrong things, and my granny still loved me. Sometimes she loved me while she was spanking me, but she's still loving me, all right? But my granny just loved me. Phenomenal love. Everybody. She'd feed 100 people because she just loved people. Think about how many people love like that with no performance needed, no criteria needed. So Hosea is going to teach us how to do that today. In a conditioned love, we do it by performance. If someone nice to me, if someone's responds to me, if someone meets my expectations and they begin to love me, I'll love you back. It's easy for me to love people who love me. Amen? See, Jesus had a big problem with the Pharisees in the Bible, the religious people. You know why? They only loved people who thought like them, act like them, and was devout like them. And Jesus says, you're not right. He says, I can teach you to love enemies. I can teach you to forgive people who forsake you and abuse you. See, my love goes way beyond by performance, by mirroring. Think about how many people you really love in your life that you love by mirroring. You know, if you're good to me, man, isn't it good to you? It's so nice. But here's the problem. We all get ugly. We all wake up ugly. I read a little article yesterday, a little saying. It says, I got the favorite pillow in the world. Every morning I wake up with a new hairdo. So see, just a pillow at night can work you over, all right? Not even knowing it. So sometimes we just look ugly. Sometimes we act ugly. So I want you to know the response is to love people. Now here, get this. God's love does not mirror people. God's love mirrors God. Now that's a big difference. God's love never mirrors people. God's love, we mirror God. Naturally. Really loving. Not gritting our teeth and have to love, but it's just natural. It just comes out. It just flows. The love of Christ. There's nothing like it. It'll change the world. And there's nobody that's not attracted to that kind of love. Nobody isn't empowered by that kind of love. That kind of love makes me stronger. That kind of love makes me sure-footed. That kind of love enables me to love the unlovable. That kind of love gets me where I could never be. That love changes my life. And it's not a mirror. It's an experience with God. So, Jesus confronts the people, the Pharisees. He says, you just love people who love you. He says, you're not a very good Christian at all. He says, matter of fact, the fundamentals of the day, they just love by performance. God loves by the power of his love in his lives. So, let me just score yourself. How much of your love depends on mirrors? How much of your caring and influence depends on somebody else's reaction to you? Can you love when they're not loving? Can you forgive when they really cut you deep? All those things are part of the love of Christ. So I want to help you to think about loving God's way. Let's read Hosea. It's got the weirdest set of orders. I'm thank God I'm not Hosea. Because God opens this book with an assignment that nobody in their right mind would want to complete. His assignment, he was the preacher of the day. He'd been passing out Ten Commandment tracts. He'd been being faithful to God, and keeping those laws was so important. And God came to Hosea one day and said, Hosea, I think it's about time for you to get married. Hosea said, yeah. He said, I've been passing out these tracts, and I seen a pretty girl over the day, and I'd like to marry her. God says, no, I got somebody else for you. Really? Who do you have, God? Well, her name is Gomer. Now, Hosea knew Gomer. Everybody in town knew Gomer. She was a prostitute. Now, swallow that one for a minute. He said, Hosea, why don't you go down there and marry Gomer? And you know what Hosea did? I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm not Hosea. He went and married Gomer. Let me read it to you. Now, I wonder what would happen if I come over here to interview for, to be a part of this church and put on my resume. I got the best prostitute in town. She loves me and I love her. We forgive each other. And I imagine deacons would have a meeting. Wait a minute. That don't meet our criteria. That don't meet our criteria. Read it with me. The Lord began to speak by Hosea. The Lord said, Hosea, go take yourself a wife of a harlot and children of harlotry. And for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord. So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Dibilion, and conceived and bore him a son. Now they have three children. And I've read a lot about this, a lot of theologians, a lot of study. But many people think none of his children was from him. She was still permissive. She was still out there. And so God says, okay, I want you to do something for me, Hosea, now that you married her. And now that you've been through a tough time, I want you to restore her. And so, and kind of put it in modern day lingo, Hosea is walking through town. And he comes up to a place where they're auctioning off the prostitutes, the pimps, selling them. And Hosea is walking by, and there's Gomer up there, his wife. Who give me five? Who give me 10? Hosea says, you finally got what's coming to you. You deserve every part of this. You know what Gomer, you know what Hosea begins to do? I'll give you 10. I'll give you 20. I'll give you 30. I'll give you 40. He didn't say, you got what's coming to you. You made your bed, now lay in it. He said, I'll give you everything I got. And the Bible says, in modern day lingo, he spent about $109 that day. You know how much $109 in that day was? You know what he did? He bought her back. He bought her and took her back to the parsonage. What a guy. What a love. Let me help you understand. I preached a series on divorce several years ago, and I guess I got more response from that series, a four-part message on divorce. And my heart goes to people who are divorced. Usually in every divorce, there's one who wants it and one who doesn't. All kinds of stuff happens, and I understand. I'm not against divorced people at all, but I'm against divorce. So are you. People who have been divorced are more against it than I am. It hurts. But in your Bible, the only principle for divorce is adultery. That's the only principle that's allowed in your Bible for divorce, is adultery. And let me get this down. The Bible says you don't have to divorce, but it says you can, because it cuts pretty deep. He says you can restore each other. I have worked with 3 families in my ministry who've been through that and came back together and restored. They were the Hosea. They were the apple of my eye. They were special. But he asks them, go get him back. Let me read it to you. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love the woman who is loved by a lover and is committing adultery. Just like the love of the Lord of your children of Israel who took other gods and loved the raisin cakes of the pagans. He says, you go, you take Hosea, you go take Gomer and bring her back just like they have misused me. They're worshiping every other god in the world. They got all these graven images. Just like they've crushed my heart, Hosea, you can do it too. You love them not by their performance. You love them out of the flow of your love of your heart, because God puts love in your heart. Let me share this with you. In my heart is a love muscle. And when God fills my heart full of love, you know it's real easy to give it away. It's real easy to give the way of love. So when you read your Bible, when you pray, you devote, when you worship, when you're walking with God, when you're just enjoying Him, He keeps your heart full of love. And you know what happens when your heart's full of love and it's time to love an enemy? You got some love in you to give it away. God puts it in there through His Holy Spirit. He says, like they've treated me, Hosea, I want you to understand how much it hurts, because it hurts you. Go get her. Buy her back and bring her back to the parsonage. So I bought her for myself 15 shekels of silver and 1 1/2 homers of barley. They tell me that all he had was left was food to feed his kids, and he even threw that in the pot to get it. He gave him everything he had to buy back a wife. And I said to her, you shall stay with me many days. You shall not play the harlot, or shall you have a man. Thus I shall also be towards you. We're going to live in harmony and purity. He brought it back. Now God talks about, and the children of Israel shall abide many days without king or prince, without sacrifice or sacred pillar, without ephod and teraphim. He says, like, the people of this kingdom is living far away from God. I want to bring them back. You know how I'm going to do it? You know how we're going to do this, Hosea? I'm going to love them back. Hosea, you know how you're going to get her back? You're going to bring her back. Let me share this with you. Gomer, sit there at the auction block. He bought her. The pimp sold him. He is now Hosea's. She is now Hosea's. She could have come off of that stage and said, hey, bud, you may spend a lot of bucks for me, but I ain't going home with you. Ain't no way. I'm not going to go down there and sit in that church and everybody knows I'm a harlot and look at me. I'm not going to go down there. I don't even know where the Ten Commandments are. I don't know nothing about Ten Commandments. I got all this pressure from the outside. I got all this sin on the inside. You think I'm going to go down there and play a church wife again? But she did. She went home. And they lived together. I don't know how long she stayed. But I know this. If she'd have left, he'd have went after her again. I do know that. You know why? He just loved her. It's the only thing I can tell you. He just loved her. See how love works. Love is phenomenal, man. God's love is no performance. It's a trap. It's just pure. It's genuine. It just flows out of us. It's natural. I'll give whatever I can for you. I always do a lot of premarital counseling. I won't marry anybody without premarital counseling because it saved 5 years of counseling. It really will. And in the premarital counseling, I talked about, is there anything in this relationship that would bother you? And adultery always comes up. Well, I'll tell you what. If you ever commit adultery, I'm done. If you ever commit adultery, and I understand that. I said, you ever read the book of Hosea? I'm not asking you that you shouldn't get a divorce. The Bible says you can, but it doesn't say you have to. But love holds through that because if you've got a way out in your marriage to start off with, you're not 100% in. If you've got a way out, put that in your bank. If you've got a way out, you're not 100% in. And so I would just try to teach them that. Man, adultery is horrible. It's a wrong thing. It's a painful thing. Let me tell you something. To be cheated upon is horrible, but to be the cheater would be worse. What do you think they think about at night? What do you think about they see where their kids are over there without a mom because she cheated or a dad? It's hard for Bebe. But aren't you glad Hosea bought Gomer? And if she would have left, aren't you glad he'd went after her? You know what the word Hosea means? Salvation. You know what Jesus is? Salvation. It doesn't go away. His love is forever. No performance needed. It's amazing grace. It's phenomenal. But I want you to understand this. In this era, they were living under the law. The Ten Commandments was their covenant. God made a deal with them. These are my children. Okay, I will give you everything. I will prosper you. I will bless you. I'll give you more than you could ever imagine. Just honor these 10 little things right here. They said, yep, we got it. God said, we got a deal. And so they break the deal. You know who's hurting in this deal? God is. This was his children that walked away from him. In the book of Hosea, Hosea the preacher preaches 150 times about specific sins. I'd like me to come up here and preach a sermon for about an hour and a half and mention 100 of your sins. You wouldn't like that sermon, would you? But Hosea mentions 100 sins. God, and you know what? 75% of them, 75 of the 100 was idolatry. It broke God's heart. Let me refresh your mind here. You know, I told you the Ten Commandments aren't really commandments at all today. They're just suggestions for most of us. But let me just refresh you. What the commandments are is a schoolmaster. We don't get to heaven by keeping the commandments, but by the grace of Christ that saves us through this all, the commandments still tells us what right and wrong is and what God loves and what God doesn't love. Got that? Got that. Let me tell you what God loves. Chapter 20 of the book of Exodus. The Lord spake all these words, saying, verse 2, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. None. You shall have no other gods before me. I am your God, the only God, no other God. The God today in America is money. You know why? Let me tell you why. Let me connect the dot for you. You know why money is so important? You can perform better with it. You can buy bigger things. You can buy nicer things. He'll like that. She'll like that. You'll just do it. See, the money just takes care of a lot of problems. Just give me more money. I'm a materialistic guy. Right on your dollar we put, in God we trust. But the pagan will follow God, follow money more than God. Got it? You know what that does? That hurts God. That breaks his heart. Verse 3. For you shall make yourself any craven image or any likeness, anything that is in heaven above or things in the earth beneath, or that is the water on the earth. For you shall bow down to them, nor serve them, for I am the Lord your God. I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the children, of the fathers and the children, to the third and fourth generation, for those who have hated me. I'm a jealous God. I am the only God you will worship. I'm the only God you follow. I won't worship anything. Let me tell you something. And then he talks about the Sabbath day, the Lord's day, in the top 10 commandments. 96 words in that commandment. It's the longest commandment of all. You know why? Because if you be faithful to worship God weekly, you're more apt to love God daily. I don't care if there is a four-legged deer running. I don't care if there's a turkey running. I don't care if there's a job. I don't care what it is. Ladies and gentlemen, the Lord's day is the Lord's day, and it breaks his heart when we don't honor it. We live in a world today that quit honoring that a long time ago. Years ago, I remember the blue laws. Everything was closed on Sunday. Went to church on Sunday. Now it's just another day to make more money. Double time. Double reasons why. Let me share this with you. A guy told Billy Graham one time, the Bible says, Billy Graham, if the ox gets in the ditch, you can get it out on Sunday. Billy Graham says, exactly right. You can. You can get the ox in the ditch on Sunday. But if it gets in the ditch every Sunday, fill the ditch up or get a new ox. This commandment works. This commandment really does work. There's times when you can't, and God knows that. But when you choose to break it, God knows that. God knows that. So I don't care what Sunday is for you. Every Sunday's Easter in the kingdom of God. We celebrate his resurrection, and he wants it because it causes us to love him. And you take a Sunday off? What if your husband took a Sunday, a Friday night off? Or your wife took a Saturday night off? Would that be okay once a year? Lord, no, it wouldn't be okay. You think it's okay? See, it's not commandments to us today. It's suggestions. Got it? It broke God's heart when Israel walked away from him because he had a covenant with them and they shattered his heart. He loved them with everything and they just forgot about him. One-sided love breaks the heart of God. One-sided love breaks the heart of mankind. It takes love on both sides. We don't mirror it. God fills us with it. See, that's what he's saying here. And so they're in a tough time right now. It's really specifically. Gomer runs after other men. Israel runs after other gods. So everything is kind of upside down. And he's trying to bring them back to what he wants them to be. And then God reveals the absence of God in our society. Go to chapter 4. I want to read to you. And let me tell you something. This is a snapshot of America. If you've been watching TV, let me tell you. If you've been watching a lot of news, you've been watching a lot of TV, quit it. Stay informed, but don't become addicted to it. Don't just watch America burn. Just don't watch America rebel, because it puts rebellion in you. It puts resentment in you. You think those people are crazy and they're nuts, and we judge and throw it around. Stop that control. If you really get really scared, read your Bible. Stay informed. Watch the news, but don't let it own you, because this is where America is. Let me read chapter 4, verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord, you children of Israel, for the Lord brings a charge against the inhabitants of the land. He's bringing the charge. There is no truth, no mercy, or knowledge of God in the land. Ladies and gentlemen, I stand appalled at the lack of truth and the lack of mercy on the media of today, on the news media of today, in the pulpits of today. The prejudices that are destroying our lives. And it's amidated, it's just overstated over and over and over. But God, now let me tell you this. He says in verse 2, by swearing and lying, killing and stealing and committing adultery. They break all restraints with bloodshed after bloodshed. What are you seeing on your news every night in the streets of America? Who would ever seen America burn and killing one another? It's here. God didn't do that. They sure allowed it because sin is always destroying us. Now, let me tell you something. I'm a pretty optimistic guy. I see the glass running over 99% of the time. I've preached on the second coming of all my life. I got a sermon out there preached, ready or not, here I come, the second coming of Christ. You need to get that message. In the last days, there'll be pestilence. You know what pestilence is in the Bible? It's a virus. It goes worldwide. And I never thought, how in the world can a virus go worldwide? We're living in one. It happened. It's pestilence. Okay? Locusts coming eating the fields. West Africa. You ever seen the pictures of the locusts in West Africa? Those Africans were out there and they'll work hard on the crops and they'll have the crops about halfway up. And here comes locusts. You can't even see for the day. They just come and they're out there and they're trying to run them off. And an hour later they leave and the fields are gone. Locusts is running. Pestilence is running. Jesus is coming. Sin's coming. It's evil. It's running loose. And God says, one day I'll stop it. I'm going to come back. And it'll be the day of righteousness. Come back into this land. But right now we see it before us. He says, what's going to happen? Then verse 5. Therefore ye shall stumble in that day, in the day. The prophet also shall stumble with you in the night. And I will destroy your mother. The word mother there is Israel, your nation. It's America for us, USA. If you live in Germany, it's Germany for you. But I will destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. I will have no preachers proclaiming for me no more because all they do is lie like everybody else. Cleaning it up. I'm shutting it off. He says, because you've forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. Let me just say this real quickly. When adultery happens in a marriage, the first thing you forgot about was your children. That's the first thing you forgot about is your children. God says your children will be cursed. Because of all the evil that's running through. God says because of the lack of knowledge, because the evil is everywhere. You know about Sodom and Gomorrah, don't you? God just cleaned that place up. Let me just give you quick illustrations. Sodom and Gomorrah. Several years ago, Kat and I was in the Holy Lands. We was riding down through, going down to Egypt, going through the desert. I looked out there in that desert, and I looked out there, and there's a bunch of black rock, just black rock everywhere. And I went to the bus driver. I said, hey, man, what's all that rock out there? He said, we're not for sure, but it's lava rock. I said, well, how did lava rock get out of here? He said, we don't know this, but we think that's where Sodom and Gomorrah was because God rained down fire and brimstone and burned that place up. I said, stop the bus. He said, they can't stop the bus. Stop the bus. He opened that door. Man, I run out across that desert. I got me two pockets full of lava rock. I said, I seen some Sodom and Gomorrah. It's right here in my pocket. I don't know what it is, but it's been just like it. Amen. Then a few years ago, I flew to the Holy Land. We were going to the Holy Lands with Orthodox Jews. I signed up for that. Jesus was king of the Jews. He's Jew of all Jews. I want to see how he lived. And so we were flying to the Holy Lands. We was in Detroit City taking off on Friday morning, and a big snowstorm came. We got tied up in Detroit an extra 12 hours, but the plane took off. And you know what happened? Those Orthodox Jews couldn't get landed to the Holy Lands by Sunday. By the Sabbath day. They couldn't land by the Sabbath day. You know what we did? We flew that plane, parked that sucker, and we stayed all night in a tent I never knew in my vacation because the Jews didn't miss church on Sunday. But you know what? The Orthodox Jews learned when you mess around with Sunday, you mess around with God. We don't learn that today in the Baptist church. We think that's just a suggestion because it breaks God's heart when we do not honor his days. Amen. So we had a stay another night, and I got to see in the desert, but I learned a lot about prophecy and the commandments of God. It's true. Now, let's move forward. Now, this is what God's going to do because of all the covenant breaking they had done. Let me just ask you a question. All the blessings you've got in your life, where'd they come from? God. If you think it was your education, if you think it was your hard labor, ladies and gentlemen, if it wasn't for grace, you wouldn't have nothing. Everything you've got, God gave it to you. I got an old 67 Plymouth. Man, it's a fast car. It's a pretty car. My wife fell in love with it in 67. I thought I'd get another one so we could finish it out in one, all right? And I polish that thing up, and it runs good. It's fast. I'll race you if you want to. And I love that car. But I was out there wiping it off yesterday. And here's what I thought. I've been studying this. God, if it wasn't for you, I wouldn't have this. I wouldn't have my wife. I wouldn't have my children. I wouldn't have my grandchildren. God, everything I have, you gave to me. Everything you have. How can I have a one-sided love affair with you? How can I have a part-time love affair with you? You gave me everything. The appetite that I had last night to eat my steak, you know where I got it? God gave me the appetite. Everything I have is given by God. Don't forget that. That's what he's saying here in Hosea. I'm tired of you guys coming to an end. You forgot about me. 150 times you sinned. 75 of them was idolatry. It hurts me just like adultery hurts you. So in chapter 4, I want to go to chapter 11. Let me get caught up here. God reveals his love to his people. In chapter 11, he begins to work in their lives, and he talks about how he could not just walk away from them. Even though they broke the covenant, he says, I'm going to love you back through this. In verse 7, my people, God says, are bent on backsliding. Boy, he knew Baptists before we were Baptists, didn't he? We're bent on backsliding from me. Though they call me the Most High, none of them exalt me. They don't think there's nothing wrong. I have an option to go double time on Sunday and need extra money. Just by choice, go ahead and take double time and forget Sunday. They think that's okay. They don't exalt me. They exalt their money. Their money buys them performance. The more performance they have, the easier it is to live. Boy, how foolish. Now, so as he reads, then he says, how can I give up Ephraim? Ephraim is Israel, the nation. You know, remember this. The Jews are God's people. They're the apple of his eye. They're his lineage. He loves the Jew. They are. His son was king of the, what? Jews. It's a bloodline. It's a purity. And yet he was doing all of this with the Jews. How can I give up Ephraim? How can I give up on Israel? How can I hand over Israel? How can I make you like Edomai? Edomai, you know what that means? Dirt. How can I make you like dirt? And then he says, how can I set you before Zimmelim? You know what Zimmelim is? Sodom and Gomorrah. You know the reason why he says, how can I ever bring Sodom and Gomorrah back to my nation? Can't do it. You know why? Read verse 9. It's the greatest verse you'll read. I will not execute the fierce of my anger. God, don't give me what I deserve. Give me mercy. Just Ron Davis needs a lot of mercy. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. The greatest thing he said, I am God and not man. I got a big t-shirt I put on there. I'm not God on the back of it. Turn around and says, you're not either. Don't we think we're God? Don't we think we can do it our way and work out better? Don't you think God doesn't care? God, I mean, we're only human. You like all that? I'm not, for I am God and I'm not man, the Holy One in the midst, and I will not come with terror. He's going to pull back. He's seen the course of the destruction was righteous, but his love compelled him to hold back the terror. I don't want to overstate this. But we're seeing a snapshot of what God says he's going to do in the last days. And we're seeing it with pestilence. How could that happen? We're watching it. God's given us a little forewarning. Pay attention. I didn't do this. I'm a good God. But I just allowed it because my children forgot who I am. Who would ever think in America they would close every church in this country and around this world for 3 months? Whoever thought that could happen? Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. There's a God, there's a bomb in Gilead, and God wants to bless us, but he wants us to love him back. Got it? He wants us to love him back. One-sided love hurts. And the last thing I want to do, and there's a lot of things I want to do last, but I don't want to hurt God. He says that Ten Commandments stuff didn't work, so I got a better deal. I'll send my only begotten son, Ron. I'll send my son for you. He'll die. He'll cover. He'll pay for all the wrong. His blood, his sacrifice, cancels all of our sins. Just love him back. Just love him back. In verse 14, chapter 14, I close. O Israel, return to the Lord your God. If you have stumbled because of your iniquity, take words with you and return to the Lord. Say to him, take away all iniquity, receive us graciously, for we offer up the sacrifices of our lips. Assyria shall not save us. America will not save us. I don't care how big a part. Assyria was the king horse of the day. Can't save us. We will not ride on horses, nor will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, for in your fatherless finds mercy. Then I want to close in verse 9. Who is wise, let him understand these things. Let him know him, for the ways of the Lord are right. The righteous walk in them, but transgressors stumble in them. Are you stumbling? Here's what I want you to do today to think about two-sided love between you and God. He's given 90, 90, 90, 95%, 99%, give it all to us. He just wants us to honor him. Commandments, they're not suggestions. They really work. They make you stronger. They protect you, even though the world doesn't. I want to be one of those. I want to be wise. The righteous walk in them, in the ways of God. But transgressors stumble in them. Are you stumbling with one-sided love with God? Because if you're stumbling, all your other love is distorted because it's performance. And that's scary. Why does churches fight all the time? Why does stuff happen at church? Because we don't know how to love. We keep score. You know, people say, Brother Ron, now I want you to know, that person is a good person. But if you got a but in your conversation, you got a problem with your love in your heart. Because, see, the toughest work love does, you know love's toughest work? Is forgiveness. And Manasseh, Joseph had Manasseh and Ephraim, and Manasseh was, God made me forget all my toil. I forgave you and let it go. If you're not a forgiver, you have never met the love of Christ, because that's how he met you, by forgiving you in his sacrifice. I just want you to love God more. I want you to love each other more. I want you to love his kingdom. I want you to serve his church. I want you to serve his church. We have a welcome center. If you haven't been down there, when you leave there, you walk down it. Last week, you walked down that welcome center. Here's what that welcome center is for. It's got all kinds of information out there on the welcome desk for our members. How to serve your church. We welcome you into ministry in your church. So it's for the church family to learn how to become a part of serving your church at First Baptist. And then it's a welcome center for new people coming in into our family. So it's a welcome to new people to come into the family, and it's a welcome center to learn how to connect with your church. Because if you just come and sit, nothing changes much till you start serving your church. You know why? The church is the bride of Christ. And the bride of Christ, we need to keep in glory. Amen? So now it's time to love again. Time to forgive again. And stand for Christ. Let me thank you for being here today, for honoring the Sabbath. Many of us have been hurting because we couldn't. It broke our hearts. It really has. It's important to us. Now we worship at home. That works. That's not less. You know, if you can't do it, you can't do it. But man, we can find it. Find it. Amen. Now, if you say your church is closed, so you've been on the beach every day, that don't work. All right? I mean, you can go on the beach. A lady told me a while ago, I talked to her last night. She says, what do you do on Sunday night? I said, well, I preach on Sunday night, but I pre-record it. She says, so you're free on Sunday nights? What are you doing? I told Kathy, I never thought about it. We're free tonight. What are we doing? What are we going to do? I'm going to do something special for my wife today. Amen? She loves me a lot. Anyway, let's stand up. I don't want to get into that, okay? God bless you. Okay.